said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays and talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have in studio with us today author Diane Davies. She of course is known for her book Jeannie Ann's Grandma Has Breast Cancer, and we are also joined today by Emily Rizak. She is with the Angel Foundation, and we are thrilled to have them both together to talk about something during October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But we're going to talk about cancer in general and just some tricky things, like how do you tell kids that somebody in their life that they love has cancer? Great to see both of you.
Yes, hi.
Diane, you last time you were here, we heard about your adventures. How's that going? You haven't gotten yourself into trouble again, have you? No? You're good?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Depends who you ask.
Exactly. How was your trip here? Good?
It was okay. Very good. Yes.
Excellent. Well, we're thrilled that you're here. And tell us about your book. How are things going with your book?
Well, I'm actually very pleased with the way things are going. It's one of those books that, you know, you don't put out in a bookstore and you expect hundreds of books to fly off the shelf. People are a little afraid to touch it, I think.
Because of the topic?
I believe that's the case.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
What about all your teacher friends? Because you're a retired teacher. Don't you think that so many people are touched by cancer that a book that really gets down to a kid's level like Jeannie Ann really is able to resonate with kids? And I would think that would be a good reader for all school libraries.
Actually, I believe that's the case, too. Now, Saturday, I'll be at Barnes & Noble in Woodbury, and I am going to be reading Jeannie Ann for the first time in a public situation like that. So it will be interesting to see. The kids that are coming are going to be there for an earlier story time, and I'm not sure that, you know, they'll be expecting what's coming with my book, and yet it's still a story, you know.
It is a story, and even though the topic is dicey, it's such a sweet story, and it's such an important story. The things that Jeannie Ann, her insights into the world are just so sweet. So,
absolutely.
Well, good luck to you. That's
going
to be awesome.
Yes.
So Barnes & Noble in Woodbury.
At 11:30 this Saturday.
I love
it. The 19th. Yes.
Oh, well, congrats to you.
Thanks.
That's great.
Thanks.
Well, I just have to learn more about Emily. Emily Rizak, you are with the Angel Foundation. Tell us about that, please.
Yes, absolutely. So the Angel Foundation is a local nonprofit. We're located in Mendota Heights, Minnesota. And we serve adult cancer patients and their entire family. We have two different programs. Our Emergency Financial Assistance Program helps cover some of the non-medical needs so they can allocate their money where they see fit during this cancer diagnosis. And then we also have our Facing Cancer Together program. That's the program that I oversee, and it provides emotional, educational, you know, and social support to the children that are affected by that adult cancer diagnosis.
Let's go back to the first part of what you mentioned, because I think a cancer diagnosis obviously is a big emotional weight on a family, but people don't think about the financial piece of it, and that is loss of income because you
Absolutely.
Can't work. It is increased medical bills, and it's increased gas bills to go back and forth to treatment. And I think that a lot of times we don't look at that part of it as something that really is going to enter in. And I'm happy to see that you are able to help people with that.
Absolutely. Yep. We give since inception, we've given over $9 million away to adult cancer patients. So.
And how does that work? Do people just apply for it?
Yeah, so you can talk to your social worker. If you're in the 7-county metro area, we're in a lot of hospitals and clinics there, and many people are really aware of us, but simply asking for them the resources in their area, and they can help you apply for a grant through Angel Foundation.
So Angel Foundation is something that's been around for how long?
We've been around since 2001.
Wow.
Yes.
So you came to this in a very special way. Tell us about your background.
Absolutely. When I was 8 years old, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then she was also diagnosed with melanoma when I was in 8th grade. Definitely, you know, pulls at the heartstrings when I can help kids who are going through what I've gone through as well.
Do you remember when you were 8 years old?
Absolutely.
What was that like? I mean, was it...
Last year.
Right. It looks like it, you cute little thing. Was it life before my mom was diagnosed and then life after?
You know, I feel like my earliest memories are when she was sick. I can pinpoint exactly where I was when she told me she was diagnosed, you know, when my sisters and I started having to go to our aunt and uncle's house more often and those kinds of things. I can really just easily pick those out in my memory. So I would say it was more of growing up with that cancer diagnosis.
And how do you think that has formed you? Do you think you would have been working for the Angel Foundation?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
it's definitely just, there's just that special place in my heart. I've always, even since the age of, you know, being young, have told people that cancer had a positive impact on my family as well, because it brought us so close together. And we just learned how to rely on one another. Just learned a lot of life lessons from it.
And when you were that young, how did your parents tell you? Because that's something I think that we want to talk about today is mm-hmm. when kids hear the word cancer, it still does have a negative connotation. Certainly when Diane and I were young, nobody ever recovered from cancer. I don't mm-hmm. think, Diane, did they?
No, I don't believe they did.
So today there's so much more hope and more treatments. So how do you go about telling kids?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I don't want to stay here and praise my mom and dad for the whole hour, but...
Well, let's do that.
Yeah.
They obviously done something right.
Absolutely. You know, they were just honest from the very beginning. They kept... I have 3 sisters, so they kept all 4 of us really up to date with the information that they had. And I think just delivering it in that age-appropriate way, we, you know, understood what was happening, maybe not specifically what was happening, but to the level that we were able to interpret it. And they just kept us updated, which I think was huge. We kept our normal routine. The communication was always there. I just praise them over and over again for the way that they handled it, and the way that I'll continue to encourage families to handle it as well.
So really to try to keep a normal routine.
Absolutely. Yep.
And did you see your mom sick a lot? I mean, in what sort of an impact did that have on you?
My mom was very tough. She, you know, underwent radiation and chemotherapy, and what I can remember always with a smile on her face. She worked through all of that as well and raised 4 little girls. I don't know how she did it, but yeah, you know, I'm actually the one that helped her shave her head. So I can remember those changes and what she was going through as well. But she did a really good job of, you know, putting us kids first and making sure that we had the information needed just to kind of help us cope with the diagnosis as well.
And what are some of the tips that you might give people if somebody's listening that has had a recent cancer diagnosis? Because I think with any sort of a health diagnosis, you have to first accept it as the person before you can even say the words out loud to somebody else.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, Diane recommends and Angel Foundation recommends as well. Just being prepared to say out loud, I have cancer, and being able to bring that information to your children is something that we always recommend. But just being really open and honest from the very beginning. We just really like to empower those kids with the knowledge that they understand what's going on and they can be part of the journey as well.
Do you think that your teachers knew?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
So you think that's important to...
Yes.
Okay.
And, yep.
And tell us why.
Just kind of telling that support system, you know, a lot of the emotional behaviors that'll come out or the stress that you'll see will happen, you know, outside of the home or maybe with someone random because they can't handle all the anxiety or stress that they're going through. So just making sure you have that support system around you.
Diane, as a former teacher, do you remember some of the times that your kids had some personal issues at home?
Yes, I do. And I think, too, that I want to emphasize the importance of letting the school know what's going on in your life in that way, because the teachers and those people that are in contact with your kids every day can certainly help you watch for things that are maybe going wrong, going the wrong way. And you know, a teacher can be a pretty good resource of where can I get some help for this? You know, how can I do this differently?
And how does stress come out in kids?
Oh, my. Well, let's talk about Jeannie Ann just for a minute from my book. Jeannie Ann, at the very beginning of the story, knows that something is wrong. And she knows it's wrong because Mom's hug was tighter and longer. Mom forgot her snack. Baby brother was still in his pajamas. I mean, it's just those tiny little pieces of routine that get changed. The next picture, you see Jeannie Ann hiding behind the door with this awful look on her face because she heard the word cancer. And like Emily was saying, if you're honest with kids from the very beginning, you can stop that awful, awful stress that happens at that point in time.
So knowledge is power?
Absolutely.
And I think, as Emily said too, knowledge is appropriate at their age level. You know, I think you need to listen to your child and answer the questions that they ask. If you're talking to a six-year-old, you don't need to go into a long speech about what cancer is and, you know, how it affected your life and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you just need to explain to them in terms that they can understand, you know, uncompromised language that they get. And they're happy with that. And if they want to know more, they will ask. And that's when you can go in deeper with them, especially with the older children, too. You know, I think it's important to listen to them as well. However, once you started that whole conversation, I think you need to keep them updated. And as your family did, Emily, you know, they kept telling you the new news or the next change in scheduling or whatever might happen. And yet it's important that parents keep their kids on their routine and encourage the kids to, you know, go to their basketball practice, go to, you know, whatever sport it might be, or to do their reading, or to do, you know, all of the normal kinds of things that, as much as possible, that they can do.
Even though life isn't normal.
It is not normal.
You're
right. You're right. And a breast cancer or any cancer diagnosis brings a new normal into your life that you have to recognize and live with.
Emily, what are some of the tools that the Angel Foundation has that can help people?
Absolutely. So if you go to our website, mnangel.org, you'll notice a lot of the documents under the resource tab do break it down into that age-specific information. So if anyone's, you know, struggling to kind of understand where their child's at, that is a great resource. We also offer monthly Facing Cancer Together programs, which is that free education and support. They're all socially designed, but kind of, you know, putting that therapeutic and educational twist on every opportunity that we can to connect with the kiddos. We have our Camp Angel, which is offered two times during the summer, completely free of charge. Just a three-day traditional camp where kids can come be kids and, you know, kind of go back to that normal routine of having fun. But we also dig deep into the cancer diagnosis as well. And then we also have our Angel Pack program, which we're in about 60 different clinics and hospitals throughout the Twin Cities area. But we hand out backpacks that are actually full of therapeutic tips and tools to kind of help facilitate that communication around the cancer diagnosis.
And certainly some families are better at communication than others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I think one of the pieces about communication that we as adults need to remember is that listening is part of communication. And we as adults need to listen to the needs of our kids and that's why it's so important to contact your school and have the teacher following along with what's happening as well on your journey, so that the student doesn't get left behind.
We're talking obviously with about kids primarily, but diagnoses of any illness can take a toll on marriages, and certainly you have some statistics you wanted to share, Emily.
Yeah, just recently some of my coworkers and I were just saying that, you know, the divorce rate of individuals who have cancer diagnosis is seeming to be higher. And we were just kind of brainstorming and chatting about that and maybe, you know, discussing why or what we've kind of seen. So
if I can just jump in on that too, it seems like a husband, a spouse, whatever, significant other, they can either accept it and live with it or they can't. And so hopefully they try to learn, you know, how to accept it all, how to live with it, how to deal with it, and not leave. Unfortunately, many people cannot do that, and that's where the divorce rate comes in. And it's pretty sad to have not only a cancer diagnosis, but to have a divorce in the process as well.
And then to worry about your children on top of that and them handling the cancer diagnosis.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, this is just really a fascinating topic. And so let's just reiterate again the importance of communication and not keeping it a secret, because I think in the old days that was the way that you did it. All of a sudden somebody would just die and you didn't realize they had cancer, but they didn't want to tell people.
Right. And if I can just jump in there too, the many times a child will hear that mom or dad or grandma or somebody has been diagnosed with cancer from a well-meaning neighbor, somebody at church, a friend, a boy, you know, just a friend at school. And when they find out that way, that destroys their trust in their parents. And so it's best for the parent to be able to tell them first before somebody else accidentally does.
As hard as that is.
As hard as that is, yes.
Well, and we certainly are lucky that there are places like the Angel Foundation that can help us with those decisions. Really nice to meet you, Emily.
Thank you.
Yes, and wow, what a journey you've had.
Yeah, she's a pretty fantastic young lady.
Well,
from the time we met, she read my book and she sat there and she cried. And she said, this is Angel Foundation right
Angel
here
Foundation.
In this book.
Mm-hmm. I just love what I do. So it makes it, you know, so much easier to walk into work every day with a big smile on my face, knowing that I can help a kid who has gone through, you know, something that I've gone through as well.
And I'm sure you've helped many, many, many of them along
yes.
the way.
Yes. Wow. Well, this conversation hopefully will help some listeners as well.
I hope so too.
We want to say thank you to our guest today, Diane Davies. And don't miss her. She's going to be at Barnes & Noble in Woodbury on Saturday the 19th at 11:30, reading her book, Jeannie Ann's Grandma Has Breast Cancer. And we also want to thank Emily Rizak. She is with the Angel Foundation. Do visit them online at mnangel.org. And we thank you both. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
The x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper. I've been denied.